So this morning, yes, it feels like it is going to be good, but it feels like, you know, God's presence and it was so good, and then I'm going to steer us back. But this morning, I want to preach on prayer and fasting. Now, be honest. Who? I don't want to say hate, because we're in God's house, but who very much dislikes fasting? I don't want to say hate, but I really dislike fasting. Whenever we fast, I'm like, Lord, I will get up at 3 o'clock, I will read the word for 2 hours, I will pray for 2 hours, I will do anything except fast, because I really dislike fasting. But we as an eldership team felt to go into a time of prayer and fasting as a congregation. Are there some people that's excited about that? And God has really confirmed this over the last few weeks, and I'm going to release some prophetic words next week as we kind of build into this. But in the last few weeks, some people have also sent me some prophetic words of they feeling like God wants us as a congregation to go into a time of prayer and fasting. And we've prayed, and we've asked God when, and we felt in this next while it's the right time to do it. So we're going to do it. But before we speak about the when and the how it is going to work, I thought to first lay a foundation out of the Bible of why we pray and why we fast, just so that we have the correct foundation as we go into this time. And I really just want to say, and I have said this before, and I just want to say this again, I really want to encourage us that as whoever shares in front, as we share, to really write down the scriptures that we use, and go and read these scriptures by yourself in your own time during the week. Because what happens is we, for the sake of time and things like that, we don't always read the full passage. And it will be so good for you to go sit and just read the verses before or the verses after and meditate on the word and really allow God to speak to you. And for the Holy Spirit to massage whatever we're saying on a Sunday, to massage that into your heart and into your life. So we really want to encourage us. Let's be people who give God opportunity to speak through His Word as we meditate on what God is doing in us. Does it make sense? Okay, so first question. So I am a bit of a teacher, so I'm going to try to do this systematically. Say again? I'm not a bit. So what is fasting? Just thought we'll start there. And I got this very good definition from Dimitri. Fasting is the laying aside of food for a period of time when the believer is seeking to know God in a deeper experience. So fasting is laying aside of food for a period of time when the believer is seeking to know God in a deeper experience. So fasting, laying aside food, sometimes water, but mostly food. And really the heart behind that is to know God and to experience Him in a deeper experience. In Luke, and I mean, the Bible is full of this. In Luke 4, verse 1 to 2, we see Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan after He was baptized and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, He was hungry. I can just imagine He was hungry. And it's quite interesting. We often pray for people to be filled with the Spirit and to be baptized in the Spirit. But we need to tell them what happens when you get baptized by the Spirit. God sends you into the desert for 40 days where you're tempted. Anyway. And then in Ezra 10 verse 6. Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the room of those people. While he was there, he ate no food and drank no water, because he continued to mourn over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. Fasting, praying, mourning. And there's, yes. This is in Ezra 10, verse 6. And the one before was Luke 4, 1 to 2. Sorry if I'm going a bit fast. And it is in the, for those that can see, it is in the bottom corner. Who can actually see that? Okay. So there are many scriptures in the Bible that speak about prayer and fasting. And we see in these scriptures that people who fasted didn't eat or drink anything for a period of time. So again, just wanted to highlight, fasting is setting aside food and water, but mostly food, so that we can concentrate on God in prayer. So that is what fasting is. Next thing is, why do we fast? And fasting really heightens our spiritual awareness of God. It is putting, it's where we put our eyes on God as we lay aside eating. So going, God, I really want to focus on you in this next time. And because of that, I'm not going to eat. And trusting that the Holy Spirit will heighten your spiritual awareness of God. It is a time of really setting aside time of seeking God. In Exodus 34, verse 28, Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Just imagine the fellowship that Moses had with God in those 40 days as he prayed, as he fasted, as he didn't have water. And in that time, God spoke to him. He gave him the Ten Commandments. So that is really what we want to do. This is why we fast. Setting aside time, setting aside food and water, if you feel led to do that, where we really see God and seek His face and allow Him to speak to us. He wasn't distracted by food or by the things of the everyday. As He did this, He isolated Himself. In Ezra 8, verse 23, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and He answered our prayer. It is going, God, I don't want to be distracted. Funny choice of words. Anyway, I don't want to be distracted. I want to focus on you, and I want to pray, and I want to trust that you'll come and speak to me or answer my prayer or whatever it is that you are doing. Last scripture, just to cement this in for us, in Joel 2, verse 12, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. So there's a thing of returning to God, seeking His face, praying to Him. And I think fasting, what it does, it just concentrates our effort a bit so that we don't get distracted. It's putting aside, intentionally putting aside time to do this. It is a turning to God with our hearts in prayer and in seeking Him. So really want to say, as we go into a time of prayer and fasting, let's do it with the intention of seeking God with all our hearts. That is what we want to do. That is the aim of the game. That is why we put food aside. And the next thing that I want to talk about is the benefits of fasting. And I actually want to, this is where I want to spend some time, because I feel this is what our focus should be. And we're going to read Isaiah 58, which is quite a well-known passage of Scripture in terms of fasting. But just quickly the context, Isaiah 58. Just quickly the context of this chapter is, the people were asking God why He hasn't seen or why He hasn't blessed their fasting. Because people in those times, and even we see in Jesus' time, people, like, fasting was part of the day. It was part of the culture. People fasted. And these people were fasting, and God wasn't answering their prayers, and He wasn't doing what He asked them to do. And then God actually rebukes them. And He says that they're fasting for the wrong motives. They were fasting to be seen by people. And they were fasting to be recognized as religious, godly people. So they were fasting with the wrong motives. They were fasting for the wrong reasons. And then God, from verse 6, He tells them the type of fasting that He chooses. So we're going to pick up from verse 6, and we're going to read from verse 6 to 9. So this is God saying to them, this is the type of fasting that I choose. Is this not the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? It is not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him and to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. Is that it? Okay. I've just been reading that this week, and that's such a beautiful passage of Scripture. And I just want to highlight a few things out of this Scripture. And the first one is, your light will break forth like the dawn. When we fast, our light will break forth like the dawn. And the question I have is, do you have any areas in your life that you don't have victory in, or any situation or circumstances that seem hopeless, that you need God's light to come in and drive darkness away? Then that's why we fast. That's when we ask God to do that. We as we pray and we fast, we can ask God to bring light into areas of our lives where there's darkness. My translation said, your healing will quickly appear, which is a beautiful encouragement to pray and fast. So as we pray and fast, we can trust God to bring freedom and healing into broken areas of our lives. We can trust Him to break every yoke in our lives and in each other's lives, and to set the oppressed free. That's in verse 6. Sorry, Charles. To set the oppressed free and break every yoke. So as we pray, as we fast, that's what we're asking God to do, right? We're asking Him to come and set us free, set the oppressed free, set people free that we know that doesn't know Him. That is what we do. That is what God, and this is God's response. This is saying, this is what I want to do when you fast. So that this is God's promise to us. As we fast, this is what He wants to do, which is amazing. That's so encouraging. Next part says, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And I was spending time thinking about that this week. Like, what does that mean? And in order to explain this verse well, I just want to use a few examples. So one example is, in an army, in battle, the shoulders at the rear of a body of troops, especially those protecting in a retreating army, will be called the rear guard. So they'll be the people at the back as an army retreats. They'll be the people protecting the back of the army so that they don't get attacked. And in a sports team environment, it'll be the defending players, the guys defending the goals or whatever it is, the try line or whatever it is. So the rear guard is a defensive position. And as we pray and as we fast, God says that He will come behind us and He will come protect us. And His glory, the Lord's glory, will be our rear guard, which is quite exciting. So any areas where the back doors open, any places where the enemy has a foothold, and you don't seem to get it, because it's like the enemy always, not always, but he attacks us from the back door where we don't expect it. We can trust that as we pray and as we fast, that His glory will come and protect us and shut that door, actually. And the following verse was a reference in my Bible to this verse, which speaks about the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. And it's in Exodus 14, verse 19 to 20. This was a cross-reference to this verse. And it's out of Moses. Not out of Moses, it's Moses' story. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them, their rear guard. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. So it was the pillar of cloud and the angel of God protecting them from the Egyptians, from them attacking them. And that is exactly what God wants to do. Isn't that beautiful? How, as we pray and as we fast, God comes and He does that for us. He protects us. Just like the angel of the Lord and the pillar of cloud protected the Israelites from the Egyptians, so God protects us from our enemy as we seek Him in prayer and fasting. And you might be trusting God for some protection in some areas of your life. And now is the time, as we pray, as we fast, now is the time to ask Him. And then in verse 9, this is probably for me the makes me the most excited. Sorry, Charles, if you can just go to Isaiah 58, verse 9. Sorry. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, here I am. For me, that is so beautiful. This makes me excited that I'm really trusting that as we pray and as we fast individually and together, because we are going to do this together as well, that we will find God. That is really my prayer. God, let us find you. That God the Father will reveal himself to us, that we will find his presence, that we will see his face. Individually, that we will hear of people as they prayed individually and fasted individually, but also when we come together, that we will find his presence. That sounds exciting. Okay. Just, where's Steve? Yes, Steve. Thank you, man. Why is it far behind? Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, you are the rear guard, yeah. Also felt just something specifically for us as a congregation as we go into this time. And I want to use Mark 9, verse 25 to 29 as my example. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, so context of this is his disciples were trying to deliver someone from a demon. He rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Because the disciples tried before Jesus came. He replied, "This can only come out can come out only by prayer." And some translations say by prayer and fasting. And we see in this passage how Jesus tells his disciples that some demons only come out by prayer and by fasting. And I'm really trusting that as we pray and as we fast, that God will bring freedom and breakthrough in areas, individually in us, but also as a family, that we haven't seen breakthrough in years. So stuff that we've been contending for and stuff that we've been praying for God to do in us, that as we pray and as we fast, that God will do it. And I need every single person, if you belong to us, I need every one of us to pray and fast with that expectation. That God will do something in us that we've been praying for and contending for years. In your life, but in us. Because when we go forward, you go forward. And when you go forward, we go forward. So really, I want to ask that we approach this time with faith and expectation that God wants to do this, because he does want to do that. That Isaiah 58 passage is God's response to prayer and fasting. He's saying, "This is what I want to do when you pray and when you fast," which is amazing. God's more for this than what we are. So that is amazing. And then just the scripture, this isn't my notes, but just the scripture in Psalm 24, which I read this morning about the King of Glory. It says, Psalm 24, verse 7. It says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors." And that ancient doors for me in this context just feels like doors that's been closed for a long time. I feel like God wants to break open. That the King of Glory may come in. Don't you want the King of Glory to come in more and more? Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And it's the Lord that fights on our behalf. As we pray, as we fast, he fights for us. And he will break open the ancient doors. This makes sense. Are we happy with this? So, nuts and bolts of this time. This is now the practical area. What is this going to look like, you might ask, and I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. I asked the office to make a slide. So we're going to pray and we're going to fast from the 29th, it's a Monday, to the 31st, 3 days. It's not tomorrow, it's next week. And what I'm going to ask is that we pray and fast during the day, and I'll speak more about what that should look like now. But then I'm going to ask that we come together during those evenings. We're going to open homes, which we'll communicate through comms on Wednesday. And I want us, It will be an hour, 7 to 8, quarter past 7 to quarter past 8. We're going to come together at the end of the day, and after you've prayed individually and you fasted individually, we're going to pray and we're going to fast together. And we're going to have stuff that we pray for, which we're also releasing the week. We can have prayer points, and we're just going to trust the Holy Spirit just to come and just show us what He wants us to pray for. We're going to pray for specific things, but we're going to pray. There's not going to be coffee. We're not going to eat together. Ons gaan bid. So please, I just want to ask, I know life is busy. I really do know life is busy. I know there's a lot happening, but if at all possible, please try to keep those 3 days open, those 3 nights open, so that we can pray and that we can fast together. The Bible, there's a lot of scriptures, I'm not going to show you now, but there's a lot of scriptures where the Bible speaks about how people pray and fast alone, but how they also pray and fast together. We have to pray and we have to fast together as well. So really make every effort to attend these prayer times. We really want to see God move in the midst of us. And I'm trusting as we gather together, we can see it. And we're going to end off the 31st, that Wednesday night, we're going to end off with a combined comm. So we'll meet together here. So Monday, Tuesday nights will be in homes, which we'll tell you which homes we're going to use. We're going to break the congregation up so that we don't have 60 people in one house and 4 people somewhere else. And we're going to pray. We're going to fast on Monday, Tuesday night. And then the Wednesday, we're going to come together here as a combined comm, and we're going to pray. We're going to break the fast together, and we're going to pray together as a congregation. Are we excited for that? Okay, come on. Just in terms of how you should fast, I'm just trying to cover all the bases here. Just want to say it's not a competition. The fasting is not a competition. Some people are just so competitive in their nature, they want to make it a competition. It's not a competition. We're not going to tell people how they should pray and fast. I want everyone to ask God how you should pray and fast. Because I realize some people need to take meds. Some people need to eat something for blood pressure or whatever else, sugar, whatever else, or for health reasons. And that is absolutely fine. But I do want to say this. It needs to be hard and it needs to be sacrificial. So, and I'm not bashing anyone, and no one has said this, but to say I fasted social media, I'm going to ask that you do more than that. There needs to be some sort of not eating for some sort of period of time as we do this. You can figure it out, and you can decide how you want to do it. But it needs to be, we need to fast food, for some period of time. And then, as I said, we can open up our homes the Monday and the Tuesday, and we can have a combined comm. Also, just want to ask, and I know this is real. I'm not joking when I say this, because I know it's very cold, and if it rains, it's not lekker. But if it rains and if it's cold next week, please don't stay away. Please don't go, oh, it's so cold tonight, I'm just going to pray at home. That's not the point. The point is you pray at home during the day, and during your lunchtime, if you're at work, or when you go to the bathroom, or whatever you do. But in the evenings, I really, really want us as a congregation to come together in numbers. It's not about numbers, but I want us to come together and pray together. We will iron out the finer details during community groups. I still need to ask people to host. So, just FYI. And then what we're going to do is next week Sunday, I'm going to ask that we also come next week Sunday, because I'm going to just release some prophetic words that people have given me over the last few weeks for this time. And I was reminded, and I'll share this next week, but I was reminded there's this passage in Ezekiel where God tells Ezekiel to prophesy over the bones of the army. And as he prophesies, God raises his army up. And I'm trusting that next week, so don't miss next week, because I'm trusting that next week, as we release prophetic words that God has spoken specifically for this time, that God will do that. That you'll just start to raise up dead bones in us as we approach this time of prayer and fasting. And I really trust that next week Sunday, as we share these words, it will really just set us up even more just to really come with faith and expectation that God wants to do something in us. Bill Bright, who was part of the Campus Crusade, does anyone know that name? Paul Bright. Paul Bright. Do you know him? Of course Jeff knows him. Does anyone else know him? He said, just a name. he said this, I believe the power of fasting as it relates to prayer is a spiritual atomic bomb that the Lord has given us to destroy the strongholds of evil and to usher in a great revival and spiritual harvest around the world. And I mean, as much as I trust God to do stuff around the world, I would really just settle for God to do something in us. Yes. So, can I ask, this week, let's read those scriptures. We're going to talk more about this on Wednesday in comm. So, if you're not in a comm, I want to encourage you to go to a comm. You can speak to me if you're not. I can set you up. But really, as we go into this week, let's really come before God. Let's really start praying for this. Let's get our hearts right. Let's decide how we're going to fast. Like I say, we'll speak more in comm. Go read those scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Next week, Sunday, as I've said, I'm going to release some prophetic words that will hopefully set us up. And really that we do this with faith and expectation that God wants to move. Happy? Can we stand in?